Thank you, Martha. Thank you, Jan, for bringing me here. I realize I'm joining you guys towards the, well, on the home stretch. I feel it's a very good time for me to come visit because I'll learn a lot about results. I understand it's a busy time for you to squeeze in another presentation. I believe there's some connection to some of the things you've looked at in the past weeks. So my goal is to give you a summary, essentially, of this task at this year's Semeval on what we call semantic dependency parsing. And my secret goal is to get you to give us feedback on the task setup, the general ideas behind that task, because we decided to rerun it at Semeval 2015, and we're currently finalizing the design of that setup. And I imagine there may be people in the room who we would consider great candidate participants in the 2015 task. So here's your chance to set it up a way that you think is meaningful. So what do we mean by broad coverage semantic dependency parsing? I'll introduce it sort of by way of the target representations. These probably are familiar to some of you. This is from PropBank, the dependency, the bilexical reduction of PropBank used in the Connell 2009 task. And despite many great properties, PropBank is very powerful. It only gives us verbal arguments. NomBank complements that with nominal arguments, but there's lots more to sentence meaning or to the semantics of an utterance. So we want to move that towards a representation more like this, where all content words receive, well, are assigned a position in the structure. This is a graph, a semantic dependency graph. It has a top node, so you can read it from there. So we say almost is the, what we call the semantic head or the highest scoping predicate in this representation. It takes one argument, which is impossible, which takes one argument, which is apply, and there things turn a little more interesting. Apply takes technique as its arg 2. The deep subject is unexpressed in this construction, and crops as its arg 3, and then the determiner here invokes a dependency that we call bound variable, sort of with a notion of a logical form representation in the back of our heads. And this is essentially what we, one of the candidate target representations we propose in this setup. And we think of this as a, sorry, I forgot to say something very important. This is joint work. This is soon going to be even more important. With people in Sweden, Tokyo, here at Prague, Stanford, and the University of Oslo, and Saarbrücken University. And I believe jointly we think of these representations as one account of essentially who did what to whom, the core semantic predicate argument structure. And evident in this example already, this is not a tree because there's argument sharing. Technique is the argument of more than one predicate here. It's also not spanning all input tokens because some we consider semantically vacuous. Yes?
So the second structure has more than one.
Yes. So structurally, any node with an in-degree of zero, I think, would be a root. And so the designated top node is different from the structural roots. I think, yeah, actually, you were here. So some nodes are not attached because they don't contribute to meaning. There is this designated top node, typically one unique top node, which we conceptualize as the semantic head. So, main predicate. And well, I've said that. So this is what we put into the task description. Candidate definition of broad coverage, semantic dependency parsing as the task of recovering sentence internal, one utterance at a time. Predicate argument relationships for all content words, not partial as, for example, PropBank was. That is the semantic structure constituting the relational core of sentence meaning. And I feel sort of we would now have to go on and define some of these terms further, but we hope that this definition gives you some idea of where we're headed. And the two communities that we primarily sort of have in mind here is the data-driven syntactic dependency parsing community, where we feel arguably you can do justice to syntax with tree-shaped target representations, but turning towards semantics, it's much more tempting to move to general graphs that allow argument sharing, for example, in control constructions or relative clauses, and also allow to consider some of the input tokens to be vacuous. The second community that we think might have something to contribute here is the semantic role labeling community, where we effectively want to move towards semantic role labeling or predicate argument structure parsing, frame semantic parsing. To me, it's a somewhat diffuse space there for all content words. So we want to include in the sort of target representations phenomena like negation, comparatives, possessive, a wealth of phenomena that need to receive a semantic analysis to enable various types of downstream analyses, tasks, downstream applications that might build on notions of entailment, logical or probabilistic. And a third goal among this group of organizers, I think, was also to actually understand better how the representations that these groups had been building, in some cases for decades, I think, in parallel, but independently mostly, how these actually relate to each other. So we wanted this to be an opportunity for us to actually talk to each other internally, and now I think here's another community that we very much would like to talk to and compare notes, essentially, at the level of individual analyses, the level of individual semantic phenomena. And hence, we have no less than three target representations in our task. The first we call Delphin MRS derived by lexical dependencies. That's work that grew out of, or a representation that grew out of this work at Stanford. So recently, Dan Flickinger and colleagues have released a fresh annotation of the venerable Wall Street Journal text, independent of the Penn Tree Bank. So they started from scratch with HPSG, head-driven phrase structure grammar, syntax, and semantics in a unified representation. And naturally, that includes a representation of logical form semantics in a framework called minimal recursion semantics. And for this task, we apply a lossy two-step reduction of those underspecified logical forms to bilexical dependencies. That's our first target representation called DM. The second comes from Tokyo, is somewhat similar in pedigree. It's Yusuke Miyao's and colleagues' work. In his case, starting from the syntactic annotation in the Penn Tree Bank and projecting that into HPSG analyses. In the process, also taking advantage of many of the nuances in the PTB annotations that are often ignored in statistical parsing, the traces, the function tags. And that also gives him a logical form representation of semantics. And that, again, can be reduced to a bilexical, that is, a graph comprised of binary relations holding between surface tokens, directed relations holding between surface tokens, bilexical dependency representation of predicate argument structure. Finally, the third target representation, which we call PCEDT, built on the local tradition, the texto-grammatical layer. I'm sure many of you, all of you probably by now, are also familiar, very familiar with that. And here, again, some conversion is necessary to go from the T trees, which can include generated nodes, not corresponding to surface tokens, to a bilexical dependency graph. And that requires reattaching functors that involve those generated nodes. And to further move towards something, to take advantage of the graph capabilities, the colleagues here also projected dependencies onto the individual conjuncts in coordinate structures. We'll see examples of that. For these three representations, we align at the sentence and token level, so we have the three over the exact same text, and that gives us about 750,000 tokens training data and 30,000 tokens that we've reserved as test data in the task. And here we're back to the Wall Street Journal. That's because these annotations, so that was the area of overlap. This is where we could do this. We put this into a Connell style tab separated format, and I don't think we actually need to understand how this maps to this because I'll be dealing exclusively in the graphical representation. But essentially, this is a subset of the Connell 2009 set of fields. So we're hoping for a certain degree of backwards compatibility here with existing tools. And the first thing we did once we had the data, well, we handed it to participants, but we also did a quantitative comparison, trying to understand these three sets of annotations over the same text in terms of all structural properties. And here are some conclusions we can draw, which will also lead me to explain the various metrics in this table. So the inventory of labels we can interpret as something about the granularity, the number of distinctions made in each of these representations, and there the Prague format is the most fine-grained, has the largest number of labels. The various measures here, the percentage of graphs that actually are trees, in the sense that all nodes are reachable by a unique path from the root node, from one unique root node. And this percentage is far higher in the Prague target representation than in the other two. Corresponding to that, the percentage of nodes that are reentrant, that is, have an in degree of two or higher, again, is approaching 30% in these two and is at about 10% in the Prague school. The percentage of nodes that are not annotated as the top node, that are not the designated semantic head, but have root status in the sense of an in degree of zero, is also much smaller in the Prague universe. So these three properties jointly sort of set the Prague representations apart from the other two in sort of tree-ness, degrees of tree-ness. This is the percentage of what we call singleton nodes, nodes that are not labeled as the designated top and not connected to the graph otherwise. So what we consider semantically vacuous. And the three representations differ markedly, but here DM and Prague actually are more similar. They consider between 22 and 35% of all tokens in the sentence semantically vacuous, not contributing to meaning, whereas PASS, the Tokyo format, is just much more covering. It connects the infinitival to the predicative copula. It even connects most punctuation marks, incorporates those into the graph. Again, we'll see more examples. Finally, in a sense, the DM format of this fresh re-annotation of the Wall Street Journal text is the most recent resource. This is the first time it actually gets used in a setting like this. And so structurally, we can interpret the percentage of fragmented graphs, that is, graphs where discarding singletons, there are two or more non-trivial components that are not mutually interconnected. And the number of topless graphs, that is, graphs where we were unable to designate one node as the semantic head. And these probably suggest that there is remaining room for improvement, possibly in the underlying annotation, certainly in my converting to bilexical dependencies, possibly also in our intuitions that a well-formed semantic dependency graph should actually have one top node or should be connected. Possibly there may be legitimate reasons for fragmentation. We haven't investigated these further. Are currently doing that in preparation for the 2015 variant. Further, in terms of quantitative comparison, here is measuring pairwise similarity. And we measure that, sorry. in three different ways, including or excluding punctuation marks, and considering or disregarding the directionality of dependencies. So directed, undirected, including punctuation marks, upper right, excluding punctuation marks, lower left. And I think it's fair to say that this structural proximity between the two HBSG-derived formats, DM and PASS, also stands out here. They are structurally closer to each other than either is to the PCEDT format. This effect is even stronger when we ignore dependencies to punctuation marks, because PASS integrates commas and other punctuation marks, DM mostly doesn't. When we discard the directionality, when we consider an edge, and when we consider the graph an undirected graph, then the picture gets a little more nuanced. The structural similarity to PCEDT actually goes up, not quite to the high 60s levels between the other pair. But from this, it's certainly fair to conclude that the directionality of dependencies is a major source of divergence between PCEDT on the one hand and the other two on the other hand. Now, more contentful, you might say, or certainly more linguistically, let's look at some sample representations and a selection of phenomena. And this is the DM target representation that you know well by now, that must seem natural to you because you've seen it before. Here are the corresponding target representations in PASS and PCEDT. And we kind of see the increased density here, just visually. And if we highlight in green edges that are shared between all three formats, then we see possibly some agreement on some core properties of the predicate argument structure that is at play in this example. Impossible is what is called a tough adjective. This sonata is difficult to play. And the representations actually differ in the analysis they assign to that. So one property of the tough adjective is that its infinitival complement actually contains a gap. And that, so recognition of that phenomenon gives us the sort of non-local dependency to the arc2 of apply here. And that's there in all three formats. So they all deliver on that property. And the main difference between DM and the other two is that DM analyzes impossible as an expletive predicate parallel to rain. And so we could paraphrase this sentence as, it is almost impossible, with an expletive, a non-referential it subject. It is almost impossible to apply this technique, a similar technique, to other crops. And the semantic dependencies would be the same. Whereas in PASS, the technique is actually considered the arg1, the deep subject, or the terminal argument of impossible. So the impossibility is ascribed to, is predicated of technique. I must say I find that, let's say, debatable. That property is not there in the PCEDT scheme. But the two agree on considering the predicative copula here in this example, a contentful element, and hence it becomes the semantic head, the top node. And in PCEDT, there's an arg1, arg2 pair between the form of B, the predicative copula, and technique and impossible. In PCEDT, on the other hand, there is, I've come to read act and pet somewhat like arg1 and arg2, the first and the second argument in the obliqueness hierarchy. And here, the relation is between impossible and apply, which is just structurally another way of casting the same statement that we make here, but considering the predicative copula vacuous. So here, there is the pair of dependencies connected to the isNode that spell out the same abstract relation that is here a direct argument relation between impossible and apply. If we further, so parse, it's derived off the Penn tree bank, keep that in mind. So it only has the Penn tree bank annotations to work with. So for example, it does not recognize the oblique two other props, PP, as an argument, that just receives the standard analysis of a PP as if it were a modifier, whereas the other two formats consider the two here a case marking proposition. It links the argument to the structure, but it has no role to play in the semantics. Apply takes, it's a three argument predicate. If we further highlight dependencies that at least two of the formats agree on, it's kind of cheating because I should do this pairwise. But sort of this maximizes the areas of overlap. And that is, well, you might say a non-trivial core or far less than it should be if we understood what the adequate analysis of a sentence like this would be. So either encouraging or remaining challenge to the design of meaning representations. And another sort of important area of differences in the analysis of coordinate structures. Let's maybe start here. PAS analyzes essentially the conjunction as a group-forming predicate. And with a three-way coordinate structure, there is recursive binary nesting. And then the argument of the preposition is the conjunction. So the final conjunction is the external representative or the local top, the semantic head for the coordinate structure. In DM, as a matter of convenience, as it happens, we actually have the same structure in the sort of original DeepBank HPSG annotations. But as a matter of convenience, we decided to convert it to what is called Melchuk style analysis of coordinate structures, where we make the conjunctions, and here there is an implicit conjunction that doesn't have an overt conjunction. We make those dependencies and essentially consider the first conjunct, the local top, the representative of the coordinate phrase as a whole. So the arc2 of such S is cotton. And then the group formation follows from these conjunction relations. Prague applies a representation that is often called Prague style. Where essentially there is a similar set formation, so this is conj member, and the final conjunction is the we could say head, if we considered coordinate structures, headed structures, the local top. Actually not. The thing that holds things together, the hub for this set formation, and it doesn't nest recursively, so it's not binary. All conjuncts hang on the final conjunction. Furthermore, Prague in this example analyzes such as an expression of apposition. That's something that is a first-class dependency type in the technogrammatical representation. Also a set forming one, so crops, and so here the preposition, the multi-word preposition, is the hub again that binds these members together, and there are two, there's crops, and then the coordinate structure. Now, you might ask, what should be the target of the, no, I'll ask you, in fact, what should be the target of the preposition, such as what, or, no, sorry, such as we have already analyzed, apply. Technique is impossible to apply to. I was going to ask you, what should be the argument, the arc2, no, the arc3 of apply, if you sort of go back to So other props here, we have now made this argument, the arg3 of apply, or in the tactogrammatical scheme, the addressee of apply richer. Where should that dependency go, the addressee go, dependency? Martha? The whole phrase, but where, it's by lexical dependencies. Need to pick a token. You pick crops, as we would do here if we had sort of considered the apposition also a group from it. And I believe that's not how it is in the native T-trees. Is it? I would expect in the native T-trees the arg3 or the addressee comes here.
Yes.
The projection of dependencies onto individual conjuncts, so inside of these elements of sets, the apposition and the conjunction set, now gets us addressee dependencies onto all of the elements. So first to the two elements of the apposition, and then recursively into the second element of the apposition is a coordinated phrase, so the same process applies there. So this is where the Prague tactogrammatical trees turn graphs. So that was the sort of projecting dependencies into paratactic structures, apposition or coordination. Final example that I think tells us something about sorry. So this projecting dependencies onto conjuncts essentially means copying the incoming dependency to a paratactic structure, an apposition or conjunction, onto all of the individual elements. I think you often call that we call this the true dependencies, don't you?
Effective
dependencies, or an effective parents. So apply is the effective predicate for all of these. Right, effective is less loaded, I guess. Final example that I think informs us also about the different levels of ambitions in these three target representations and the sort of traditions, the annotation efforts behind them. Nominal compounding, let's maybe again start in Tokyo. And remember, Yusuke only has the PTB to work with. So there is, this predates the NP deepening of, what is it, Vardar and Curran 2007, I think. So all that the past representation can do about the internal structure of nominal compounds is to assume that the last noun is the head and make everyone a modifier of that last noun. Furthermore, they're all modifiers of the same type, arg ones. In DM, we're slightly more ambitious. The bracketing, we want to disambiguate, but we don't want to take a stand on what the exact relations are among the elements, so we just call that an underspecified two-place compound dependency. Patient arrival, hospital arrival, the grammar doesn't tell us whether that's a location or an agent. Prague, finally. What I call the most ambitious in this respect, does take a stand on the bracketing, and we note that the two resources here actually land on a different structure. We can discuss that. But in addition to the bracketing, Prague also assigns roles. So you guys say that in stock investment, the stock is the patient of the investment. And that in this structure, the employees are the ones who are planning. Whereas this structure assumes that we're talking about employee stocks, a type of stock that is issued to employees in contrast to common stock, and that this is plans for investment in employee stocks. So two different sort of interpretations of the actual structure. We'd have to consult The context, I think a financial expert. I think you said your husband works in finances. Prague is right, you say, without consulting the context. We should be generous with our hosts. So you think the employee stock notion is not salient here. So first of all, as so often, these are hard to call, even the structure. Assigning the roles will certainly make the problem even harder, and I've tried to sort of classify what's actually going on here, and I do so in terms of the conventional or classic distinction between sentence versus theta meaning. So the idea that there's some contribution to meaning that is in the linguistic signal exclusively, and that there is certainly more to meaning, but that is dependent on context and something that essentially relates the linguistic signal to the real world. As I said earlier, patient arrival, hospital arrival, the grammar doesn't tell us anything about these, the nature of these relations. Hence, in this universe, we're trying to spell out all contributions to meaning that are grammaticized, that syntax or the grammar of a language determines, where I can invoke contrasts of grammaticality. And arguably, the internal structure actually is grammaticalized, as is the case, I would argue, for PP attachment, even though that too often requires contextual knowledge to actually call those attachments. Prague goes a step further and also essentially applies the expert domain knowledge to assign thematic roles, or at least to interpret the dependencies between the elements of the compound here. So in this respect, our three target representations are not only sort of different types of structures. Effectively, the task that we're giving, handing participants, is also a different task. This tries to do everything that is determined by grammar and stop there. This is trying to do more. So here there is an element of interpretation that is not present here in the systems that submit, that participate in our task. That I find a very interesting contrast. So finally, let me tell you something about our task. Time's going fast. So we evaluate in terms of individual dependency, labeled and unlabeled, precision recall F1, and furthermore in whole sentence accuracy, a much stricter measure. And the identification of the top node is just considered one additional virtual dependency in this counting. We offered a closed task where a closed track, I'm sorry, where people had only our training data, which includes part of speech and lemma information, but no, except for that, no representation of syntax. So essentially in the closed track, we're asking people to go straight from the linguistic signal, from the string to a semantic dependency graph. Some of us felt that syntax might have a role to play here, and so we also encouraged people in the open track to use a syntactic parser. To make that easier, we gave them companion representations where we had to sort of retrain parsers to represent our splits of the data to exclude our test data, section 21. And we gave them simplified PTB, phrase structure, and Stanford basic dependencies. So those were the resources readily available. But in the open track, people were free to use whatever seemed feasible. We received 9 teams in the end engaged in the task. And since I believe my focus today is on representations, I'll be relatively shallow on the actual results. I'll be far less shallow about this part if you come to the actual Semeval presentation. But since we sort of targeted different communities, people also came back with a variety of approaches. Some did what we hoped would happen. They built data-driven parsers that output graph structures that, in fact, internally deal with graph structures. For example, Marco Kuhlmann, an extension of Eisner's algorithm, or two groups built on the work by Kenji Sagara, 2008, who had built a transition-based DAG parser. And some people came with an SRL-like cascade of classifiers, and probably a majority of people actually came from a syntactic dependency parsing perspective and said, okay, these are graphs, but there's a lot of treeness in those graphs. We'll approximate them in trees and we'll run off-the-shelf tools. And the Peking group did that with, so that's the University of Peking, where are they here? They actually then did an ensemble of no less than 16 tree approximations of our graphs, combined with one native graph parser. So quite a variety of approaches here. How do they fare in the closed track? The ensemble system delivered across all three representations the overall best results. So this is the average labeled dependency F score. Closely followed by, this is André Martins, who adapted his turbo parser dual decomposition based dependency parser to a limited class of graphs that is sufficient for what we're doing here. Let me at that point also bring up the open track. In the open track, the Peking team did not participate, and that put the Priberam system at the top here. Many numbers. We won't do justice to most of them, but we can sort of compare roughly the parsability, the difficulty of reproducing one of these target representations. And there, it's a pretty solid pattern that the Tokyo representation is easiest, closely followed by DM, and the Prague representations are a lot harder for the parsers to reproduce. Now, that could indicate consistency of annotation, or it could indicate the thought I gave you about the actual differences in ambitions. So, at least in some phenomena that we considered, well, in one, arguably in two, including coordinate structures, the Prague representations are richer in information, hence should be harder. And the different approaches are relatively stable in sort of their relative performance on different representations, so we don't see clear patterns that correlate approach to degree of graphiness in one representation or degree of partiality. Comparing closed to open, we could try to read out of this comparison the contribution of syntax. And I must say, I was surprised that people were not getting more than between 1 and 2 points improvements from using, most used, the syntactic dependencies, the Stanford basic syntactic dependencies. However, some of these approaches, the CMU and the Turku approach, would not be possible. They're sort of defined in terms of, they need to start from a syntactic dependency tree. So they are certainly enabled by an explicit representation of syntax. Finally, what we did down here with the in-house submission, that's some of the organizers, Yusuke, myself, and Dan Zeman here from Prague, who said, at least for DM and PaaS, we also have been working on parsers that output representations that we can then reduce into these bilexical dependencies. Let's throw these into the competition. They are developed independently of the test data, but of course they sort of have the advantage of dealing internally, natively with this kind of representation. So the in-house system is an ensemble of the Delphin ERG HPSG parser, the Enju HPSG parser from Tokyo, and something that I think we'd have to say was put together relatively quickly. So in Prague there was no pre-existing sort of mature parsing system for the English T-trees. And these three parsers together then was our submission, and what is reassuring for the for Yusuke and myself to observe is that the sort of native parsers certainly are still very competitive, especially so in sentence accuracy, so getting the full structure right. But I must say I'm also impressed with sort of how close this extended version of Torvald parser in much less time. These are at times relatively expensive parsing systems, reproduces these semantic dependencies. All right. This was 2014. Oh, we're running out of time here. So let me just throw out my questions for 2015. What we had not done here was out of domain testing, and I really feel bad about that. So we have decided that for all target representations, there will be out of domain test data over the same text, freshly annotated, and we'll keep it a secret what kind of out-of-domain testing data there will be. But there will not be parser adaptation, no out-of-domain training data. We want to modify evaluation, sort of scoring individual dependencies is relatively forgiving. So the idea here is to score a complete predicate, that is the predicate plus the full set of its core participants, all arguments. And for the Prague scheme, that's actually an interesting notion to make precise. Because we need to distinguish the free adjuncts from the arguments or obligatory modifiers. And to go one step further in the direction of SRL, we want to add predicate disambiguation, so a notion, introduce a notion of predicate senses, which come from, for each of the representative, no, for DM and Prague, but not PAS, will come from valency lexicons. We'll add additional languages. We'll certainly do PCDT Czech. We'll likely do PAS Chinese, and we'll likely do DM Spanish, but we're currently still putting together that data. And we're wondering how could we shed more light on the role of syntax, and one thought that we have is we'll make available additional formats, including native dependent syntactic dependencies from the actual HPSG parsers. And we'll make available better companions. We'll add a third, a gold track, where we give you perfect gold standard syntax, and then see how much work remains to actually map from that to this kind of predicate argument structure. And this is where I would be very happy to receive feedback. Well, I'll be happy for feedback on any aspect of this. Thank you. No. Oh, each, yes, each of the organizing groups. Yes.
So how much?
We're talking about 2,000 sentences for English.
Yeah.
1,500 to 2,000, in case Jan gets nervous. No. Well, actually, so for the cross-linguistic variation, we won't have the same nice parallelism, because we'll have one additional language, one representation, another language, another representation. So there we're sort of fanning out more. And there, probably actually for all of these languages, yes, there is available out-of-domain testing data. But it will be one representation per language, so it won't become comparable in the same sense. Maybe. I think all but one were grammarless in that respect. So obviously in the closed track, they had their data-driven systems trained on the training data. No additional sources of information. Sorry? Alpash, yes.
They also have the grammarless.
Yes. So they built on Kenji's algorithm, re-implemented it, and then submitted to the closed track, just training on our data, submitted to the open track, adding brown clusters, but not using their grammar. So I think it's possibly a separate branch of Alpash. Huh, well, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, but it was, I guess, there's some conversion of text, I mean, Pia is just awesome, so put it in the background. So, Dia had a lot of the redundancies with AMRs, and they have a lot of control measures and things like that, and Pia has also had quite a few of those, but it's a little bit different because, you know, the arguments are labeled like
I think that is an omission in my view that we may try to. So the control relations John promised to sing, John persuaded Mary to sing, are annotated in the T-trees, but they involve generated nodes, and has hence in this conversion, I actually only realized sort of not so long ago, disappeared. But I think since these are now graphs, could I imagine be preserved. So in terms of control relations, so with this correction, I would expect they should all be pretty close to each other. So sort of grammaticalized control relations as the examples I just invoked, like in the TUF construction, many others. I think all three approaches aim to sort of consider in target. I think PASS, DM, sort of very similar in spirit. PASS, I would say, a little impoverished at times because Yusuke only allowed himself the PTB plus clever sort of projection into HPSG, but that's a fully automated process. And furthermore, in the design, I find that there are a number of what I would call redundant dependencies that I also find hard to interpret semantically. So the infinitival 2 here, that's a non-top root. That's a node that takes an argument but isn't the argument of anything else. And in fact, the contentful argument of impossible is the verb. So I see not much, I don't think we gain that much by also connecting the infinitival 2 to the graph here. Actually, that should be an odd one, I think. That must be, no, actually, no, that's not true. And no, I think that's actually an arc two, because sometimes, so I think in a construction like the tool to apply to this problem, the two will take as its arc one the noun that you might say it modifies in a reduced relative clause. So I think that's why this is an arc two. Were you asking about the choice of label, or?
Well, I was just trying to understand the link. So that's between the
Oh, it's hard to read. So that's from the two to apply. The arc one, I believe. Or technique to apply, maybe I should have. I believe this is what it would look in PaaS. And I believe that's the reason why the two is actually there and connected, and why its dependency, is labeled arg2. How do we make this? So the high-level answer is it follows from linguistic theory and from decisions that hang together as a whole that are actually implemented in a computational grammar. So the DM representations are generated from a grammar. Regarding determiners, Prague did not incorporate the indefinite and the definite and the. And that's, I think, a large part of the difference we see here. So the larger proportion of singletons. With that exception, Prague and DM actually agree a lot on what they consider semantically vacuous. Most punctuation marks, it happens that a colon or a dash or a parenthesis contributes to meaning. Auxiliaries, predicative copula, complementizers, so many function words. And I guess function words is part of the decision procedure. So what in our linguistic theory is considered a function word is a good candidate to also be semantically vacuous. Case marking prepositions. Yeah, so the auxiliaries contribute tense information.
Yeah. It either converts to the H label, which is in most cases, and some other auxiliary like prepositions, they typically are converted to the appropriate label or some label. And then other auxiliaries contribute to attributes like tense and other things. And in fact, the determiners that you mentioned, they are either considered grammatical because you simply have to use them like the first and therefore they just disappear. But in other cases they are sort of converted into the topic and focus.
Yeah.
So but for this we haven't looked at those attributes.
So here and of course in terms of semantics there is a good argument to be had whether the English whether and when the English introduces an existential quantifier. So here we're making that assumption. So we incorporate it here, and the BV bound variable sort of invokes the idea that there is quantification involved here. All determiners.
All determiners.
Sorry? Also, yes, all determined. We are very generous, as Mark Steedman put it, about our generalized quantifiers. Take a bath. I think we'll analyze that. So DM, so now we are sort of moving away from, so in DM there would be a BV dependency from a to bath. And bath would be the arg2 of take. Because it's bound to be interpreted different from take the bath. And whether that is, so where do we record definiteness, demonstratives, proximity, so this versus that. In a semantic representation. And so sort of here, where all we have are bilexical dependencies, I think there is an argument to be made to sort of make the information available as good as we can.
Well, yes, so to follow on with that question, then, so for take a bath or give a blessing or take a walk, you would just have a more syntactic representation of that with the noun as an argument to the verb. There's no distinction between take the pudding to the
Well, there may still be a sense distinction, which is in this version not represented, but there's also, I'm sort of waiting for something, some example where I would start to wave my idiom flag. There's also, but so far I think you've stayed away from those.
Yeah, that's really intentionally what the expressions
are. At one point we can cross the line and call something idiomatic,
yeah.
And sort of then no holds barred, and we can give it whatever semantics. But the examples you invoked, so Abrams took a bath. I fully expect, actually let's make this a little less verbose. So this is the first of the intermediate representations towards bilexical dependencies. And so here, take V1 takes a quantified NP X10 as its second argument. Took the car to the shop. Probably turn off the trees, actually. There. So that's the same predicate. And we could argue about that, I think. And it has a different arity. So the one is take V1/2. This is take V1/3. So in that respect, there is a predicate distinction. Yes, so the third argument here is, for this I should probably look at the full MRS actually. It's going to be easier to read. So the third argument of take here is essentially a small clause. So this says that the car is to the shop. That doesn't strike me as the right analysis. We have more. So I think that was more took something to the limit. I think there that would be. So we have three analyses to choose from. So here we get the two place. Okay, so here we get a modifier analysis. So there we're back to the two place. John Abrams took the car, and the taking event, that eventuality, was in the direction of the shop. So here we have an intersective modifier in the semantics.
What about?
That's probably, I'd be prepared to defend that for this example.
Yeah. What about the window broke?
So that's I had even considered adding that to today's presentation. So the window broke. We have window as the arg1 of break V1.
Yeah.
And Abrams broke the window. So that's a thank you for giving me the chance to. There we have a different predicate. That's a two. So, and hence, in our current DM reductions, we don't have these predicates. And there, without the predicate, the bilexical dependency graphs would be impossible to interpret. So this is essentially, we could paraphrase this, or we could even break it apart if we thought that was the right thing to do as cause. So X6 caused the breaking of X9. But we find it more convenient to actually do that as one, as a predicate, as a sense distinction.
And the other representations?
I believe the same is true in PCDT. So So I think in PCEDT, they would also be in the window broke. The window actually would be act. So the first argument. So that's why I said I've come to read act and pet much like arg1, arg2. And in Abrams broke the window, it would be act pet. But there would be a sense distinction. So with that addition to our task, we enable the sort of recovery of who did what to whom here. Yes. And so if the prop bank senses there would also allow us to draw that distinction. So the NGU HPSG bank, that is the HPSG sort of projection onto the PTB, doesn't have sense distinctions. And Yusuke for the 2015 variant of the task is not terribly keen on introducing them. So that's going to be an optional component for DM and PCEDT, but not for PASS. Right, so it achieves the same sort of, it makes available the same information, but casts it in terms of a role assignment convention. So I think you guys are closer to the notion of proto-agent and proto-patient, at least, than PROC and DMR.
Just reinforce if there aren't any more questions. Okay.